Hello and welcome to Behind Closed Doors. I'm a bit croaky today, a bit of a cold man flu, but I'll tough it out. Each week we start these shows with a brief list of the most significant events on planet football. Each week I think we'll run out of the strange and wonderful and utterly bizarre. And each week, Danny, we're proven wrong. Well, I'm proven wrong. Danny, two things I have to mention.
I bet I know what one of them is. I bet I know what the first one is. Go on.
Well, it might be, if you're thinking Southampton 0, Leicester City 9, then yes, you're spot on. More of which,
you realise by the time this goes out, that's like last season or something, isn't it? But you're not gonna let it pass.
This is Monday, it'll be out on Wednesday. it's fine. It's still our most recent fixture. The Carabao Cup have been played. Probably. Anyway, mind you, this is the best. I know we talk about VAR a lot,
and we should.
I'm practically on your side now. but have you seen the VAR moment of the season so far? In the Bundesliga, a match in the second division between Holstein Kiel and Bochum. Now, the Bochum striker, I'll try and explain this, but the Bochum striker, Sylvain Mbusi, shoots harmlessly wide. The Holstein subs were warming up behind the goal. And Michael Eberwein, one of the subs, stops the ball like a ball boy would.
Yeah.
Only VAR decided the whole ball had, seriously, had not gone behind the dead ball line and awarded, after quite some confusion and quite some time, Bochum a penalty. I mean, honest to God, with no one around and the ball speeding out and miles wide of the goal.
Yeah.
And Mbusi then slammed the ball in from the spot. It gets better. This was Eberwein's first touch since joining the club this summer. He also got a yellow card and didn't come on.
I've seen this.
Oh, and Holstein Kiel still 1-2-1.
It is, of course, it's nuts and it's insane and it is surreal. Because when it was shown to me, it paused and I said, why are we looking at it?
It's one of those what happens next things, isn't it?
It is what happens next. Yes, it is. It is one of those. But, and we'll deal with VAR because we must not just shrug and say, oh, well, you know, you've got to keep talking about it. You've got to keep the pressure on them. Because if it was some faultless machine, then that's what people like to think it is.
But it's not. We've just removed the referee. It's still human beings making mistakes.
Down the road. That's it. It's another bunch of referees down the road. Yeah. There's still a bloke who says, like the Arsenal goal, I think that's a penalty. And then everyone says, no, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Except now we have it five times a game instead of once every five games, which it was. And now we are completely through the looking glass with it. And it is far worse than even my initial gut reaction to VAR. I said it was going to be no good. I'm not looking for, you know, to say I told you so, but it is no good. But even more, Lewis Carroll logic. Teletext Alex, the dear backbone of the show, certainly my emails for us, he sends them. Did we know that any player who enters the official Premier League VAR room, which deals with all the incidents, receives a straight red card?
What, is that the telly by the side of the pitch? Or?
No, this is the actual VAR room.
In Stockley Park?
It says here, Alex says, this is in the official Premier League rulebook under VAR. This revelation is startling, but the Premier League's video operations room in Stockley Park, Uxbridge, is 13 miles from the nearest top flight ground.
So when they get a red card and they jump in their, pitch, jump in their car, drive to Stockley Park,
listen,
that wasn't offside. It's a red card, you're off.
Do you know what, Gary? The time is taking. They probably would still be deliberating.
Yeah, I know.
The whole squad around the side of the door going, can you just go home back? Because before that, he kicked me. The whole thing, as we know, and it must keep talking about it, because what they want is everyone to shrug and say, oh, well, it's the way the game is. We've gone way beyond old man shouting at
cloud. It's not the way the game should be.
It is a shambles.
I know you've always hated the idea of it, and I hate the idea of you being right. But you have been proved right, but I still think if it was done properly for what it should be for, which is a very, very rare intervention when there's been an absolute obvious 100% howler, which you can see in the first replay or the second replay, then fine, change the decision. If it's for every decision and you've got another referee doing it, well, it's destroying the game. And that's how they're using it. The Arsenal winner that should have been yesterday, I don't know, what was it, 10, 15 minutes to go, wasn't it? They looked. It was almost as though they must have been determined to find something, because there wasn't anything.
No.
There was a few feet came together here, there and everywhere. But if that's a clear and obvious error, well, you're wearing a green fez. Oh, you are wearing a green fez.
But The one, was it the Brighton Wolves, when he trod on his toe?
I know.
Another one.
But he's just walking back and he just flicks
his
toe.
Here's what we've
got to
do. And here, in the short term, is something we can do. And I used to say this about referees in general. Who are the people making the decisions? And make them come on television, explain it. Make, you know, you wouldn't be aggressive, but you'd say...
No, they don't need to come on
television. Why did you give that?
They should just do it at the time.
Yeah.
Like they do in other sports, you hear the commentary, you hear the conversation between the referee and the VAR.
Yeah.
You'd do it in cricket, you do it in rugby, I think in rugby league as well.
I don't think there is a conversation. I think it's just a lot of interfering, all busybodies. Can I see that again? Play it back a little bit more. That you have given people a little bit of power, just like people who used to operate car parks and traffic wardens. You give them a little bit of power, they're not going to say, oh, I won't interfere.
I won't
go on. You actually don't need me.
I think you've
they
got
will
a
use
point.
It.
It needs a it really does need
it's
a
like
the
whole joke, yes. The last thing on this, the way they've clumsily and just no idea what they're doing, the way they've introduced this to football is like that old joke. People used to say, it has been the government have announced that in line with the rest of the world, Britain will start driving on the right hand side of the road from January the 1st. They're going to begin rolling it out with just lorries and buses first and see how it goes. Yeah. That is the amount of thought they've put into VAR. They've not thought it through.
No.
Anyway,
there's one or two other things that spring to mind along there. Anyway, but we're not going there.
Just to get us back on track that we don't have, I keep forgetting this. Someone called Neil tweeted us and said he really, really does have a friend called Aston Miller. His best friend is called Aston Miller.
Aston Miller.
That's right up there with Debbie County, who I once met. So Debbie County and Aston Miller. Any
Debbie
more you
County.
Can go. Debbie County and Aston Miller. That's a marriage. That is a marriage. What you got over there, Gary?
I've got one here from a guy called Hamilton Academicals. You all missed that. It was a joke. I just made that up.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hang on.
It was quite...
Oh, no, VAR says, not funny.
Story of my life. You don't need to turn that around.
No, I realise it. Yes, I can say it was a postmodern joke.
It was too soon.
Oh, sorry.
I got one here from Miles Devine. That's genuinely his name.
Miles, that is funny.
Miles Devine, yeah. That's a good name. Who asks, who would you have most liked to play for? Klopp, Pep, Mourinho or Sir Alex?
Mourinho's probably not working at company
at
the moment.
No, he's a bit hard work.
It was your question, obviously. So
I nearly played for Sir Alex because when I went to Spurs, it looked like the deal might fall through and they got in touch.
Did they?
Yeah, because I was...
You nearly played for Man United?
Yeah.
Did you?
Twice. Ron Atkinson tried to sign me when I went to... when I joined Everton, but they were fairly rubbish then. And Everton were really good, so I went to Everton. And then, the second time was actually the deal was kind of done with Tottenham. And then all of a sudden, they said we haven't got the money to pay Barcelona. So there's when Tottenham suddenly develops a few monetary problems. So it looked like it had gone away. And then my agent said, Alex Ferguson's been on. I said, yeah. I mean, at that time, you've got to remember this is not. A period when Alex Ferguson was monstrously successful. This was in his early days. Yeah. This was,
when they struggled.
This was 89. So he didn't really start getting successful, did he? 92, 93, wasn't it? Around those times. So, and then all of a sudden Tottenham said, no, we've got it together, we've done it. So it kind of went away. It's not that I said no to United, but it was almost an afterthought. But that genuinely happened. So I nearly played for Alex, which... Who knows what would happen? I might win a league.
What about the other two?
Mourinho, I think, in his time, he's obviously...
He'll come again. He will come
well,
again.
Well, he'll get another job.
Yeah, yeah.
He needs to kind of probably rethink his mentality a little bit. Yeah. And he can't keep driving players against him. But, I mean, he's obviously a brilliant coach. Unbelievably successful. Klopp or Pep? Wow. Love them both. Love the way both teams play football.
Come on, love you, darlings. Who is it? VAR.
It's a really good question.
It is. Well, in the meantime,
I don't know. And do you know what? They're totally different styles. I think I'd score a hell of a lot of goals for Pep's team, but I think I'd score a hell of. But I'll go Pep for the simple reason the way the teams play at the moment, the Firmino role will be quite a little bit difficult for me because not that you couldn't play the way I play. But he drops deep a lot and links play, and I wasn't kind of that kind of player. And the two players, and that allows them to cut in and score a lot of the goals.
Man.
With a Pep team, the striker, if I didn't score a goal a game, I'd feel like I was useless. Well, you got Sterling on one side, and then Bernardo Silva and David Silva and Kevin De Bruyne whipping the ball in for fun. Having said that, the Liverpool fullbacks, particularly Trent Alexander-Arnold, I would score a bucket load of goals with him. He is a super special talent, that boy.
You've got something which can only be described as lust in your eyes. I love
seeing brilliant footballers, and this kid is, he's too good to be a fullback.
Yeah.
He's too good. He should be.
That's one of the best fullbacks out.
He's one of the best passers of the ball I've seen, and he's a kid.
But on this, and just harking back to the beginning of the show, the ridiculous VAR penalty given because the substitute wasn't quite, the ball wasn't out, etc. When it was shown to me, and Tony showed it to me, and he said, and the forward, instead of just side footing it to the goalkeeper and say, hammers it in, would you have hammered it in? I think it's fair enough to hammer it.
I don't know.
No?
I'd like to think I wouldn't, but I don't think I could turn down a goal ever. I don't know.
It's
so easy to say I'd have done the right thing, but I don't
just
know.
Just abiding by the laws of the game. That's all he's doing.
Well, he is. Yeah, that's right. But
the only way I can enter this is, obviously I've got no experience of any managers at all. I got a hit in the side of the head by one when I was about 11 because I got a laugh out of him. He said, "You're all out there, don't all chase one ball." And I said, "Well, how many is going to be out there to chase?" And he gave me a right hander. That's my experience of managers. But the dressing room I'd like to be in part of, most of all, would have been Matt Busby's as one of the teenagers.
Yeah.
With that dressing room with
Busby Babes,
Best, Charlton, that bit, when they won the European Cup. Yeah. I'd love to have, because he had such a him and Jock Steen spoke exactly the same. That I would have loved to have been in that dressing. What he didn't seem like someone who could muster an atmosphere up, but plainly he had something. Yeah. So I'd do that. Yeah. Now on this side of the table, Gary, this is one of my favourite emails we ever got. It's from PC Andrew. Not politically correct. He's a copper.
Copper, yeah.
And it's being at a football match, but you have no interest in it. Which I think is one of our 73 subjects currently. They're all open if you ever go to my Twitter feed. And I like this because he's someone who has absolutely no interest in football, but listens to this podcast and has now got in touch with us with a pretty anti-football
example.
And
right.
We're back on track with this.
Maybe he's a VAR fan, though.
He says, as a copper, I often get posted to many a football match. I've been to Arsenal and Spurs and QPR, Chelsea, even Millwall. Far too many to remember. The only problem is I don't enjoy football at all. And come to think of it, I don't know many coppers that actually do. I hated being sent into the ground just in case of trouble. I was always looking for a reason not to be there. One afternoon, I was assigned to the Emirates Stadium, where Arsenal were playing Tottenham. Don't ask me when this occurred or what the final score was. I have no idea and I couldn't care less. We were stood just off the pitch. Spurs scored an early goal, and the scorer stood in front of the home fans taunting them. Lo and behold, one lone Arsenal fan ran onto the pitch. He was a little upset about what was happening. He was eventually collared by a steward who began to walk him towards us. "Right," said our sergeant, "need a volunteer to arrest that man." About half a dozen coppers, all realising this was the quickest way out the stadium, suddenly wanted the arrest. But my hand shot up and I made straight for the steward, beating my colleagues to the collar. The custody for the event was held at Barkingside, quite a trip from Islington. The fan was extremely upset and pleaded all the way to be let back into the game. It had not been on for long. Me, I was absolutely happy. Once booked in and the arrest notes done, it was tea and toast for me as I waited for the van to collect me after the match. When it arrived, the rest of the police in the van looked cold, fed up and miserable. Not like me. I'd spent most of the 90 minutes rested, having had some warm refreshments and an arrest to boot. I'll email you again shortly about a story when I went to the Orient. That is a great email. Imagine that coppers. I've often wondered.
A proper
not a football fan. I've often wondered. I thought that's dedication. That's training. Yeah. When they stand with their back, I thought that's good. But they
actually don't really want to watch the game anyway.
So they're looking for someone to nick so they can get home early. But it's a wonderful. Thank you, PC Andrew. That is a terrific one.
Yeah, that's very funny.
You got another question over there?
I've got one or two actually. What is the worst pitch you've ever played on? That's from Neil Cheney or Chenny. Blimey. Baseball ground was always the bog, wasn't it?
Famously boggy. Looked like it, but our leagues
played at Blackpool once, but that was The pitch was dreadful. It was January and it was an FA Cup tie. And but that was more for the fact that there was a hurricane blowing, basically. And I think in that game, there's one time I see it where, you know, a goalkeeper takes a kick out of his hands,
yeah,
and boots it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually blew behind and went...
Did it like a beach ball?
Over the goal behind him. Yeah, and also, I miss an absolute sitter in that game. But no one knows it's windy on telly. It was shown on Match of the Day. Ball's crossed. It's a header 4 yards out. Can't miss. And as it's come, it's like blown miles. And it's come off the side of my head and gone backwards.
Man. Grimsby used to be, as in a way, ground, the coldest one to go to, yeah, for obvious reasons.
Grimsby. I scored an overhead kick at Grimsby one day.
You
scored an overhead kick there.
Did you?
Yes. Don't you know, I only got a couple, I think, in my career. There's one there. Yeah.
It's diving headers, yeah, overhead kicks.
There's something about an overhead kick.
Have you ever been in games that were abandoned? Because that's always a lot of fun, even as a supporter.
Yeah, played Southampton, got abandoned.
Did
in the rain once. It was just, the ball wouldn't roll. It was farcical.
And do you ever get, on the way to grounds when it's been called off? Because supporters get that all the time, you know. These days, of course, it's different, but before mobile phones, you could arrive and find the game.
That's true,
called,
yeah,
off.
I think one or two. I can't remember the specifics, but I can remember a time we left for a ground and then turned round or it was off when we got there or something like that. Worst pitches, though, of course, plastic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they QPR, were terrible. I mean, I know nowadays you get the 4G and it's much improved, and it's still not perfect, but the plastic pitch, QPR and Luton. I remember the QPR one, played there a couple of times, and it was so hard. And at the edges, it was all like curling, you know, they'd curling over it like a carpet.
I think I said that once when we touched on this, and I said, it's like on your old vegetable stall, the stuff they used to have under the fruit and veg deck.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. And the ball used to go like boing, boing.
That's why I think younger people here, and Lucas sitting over there, you're getting a history lesson here, son. got to realise that VAR is by no means the most ludicrous thing that they've tried to introduce to football that quietly gets forgotten about. And let's hope that's that way. It goes again. Another thing I must, because it was this week, I thought this was weird. At the end of the Liverpool Spurs game, the Spurs keeper came up for the very last corner, but the Liverpool keeper held onto the ball and allowed him to get back before he cleared it. What's that all
about?
That's
the goalkeeper's
union.
No, yeah, they've got this little thing that they do that,
but that's stupid.
No, you do know that though.
I don't know.
No,
that.
That's keeper's etiquette,
is it?
No.
I used to enjoy with goalkeeper. I'll tell you what is keeper's etiquette. Do they still? They don't still toss a quiper ends, do you? In games, you don't.
Yeah,
do they?
They do.
Do they?
Yeah, I think so.
They do. Oh no, well, I think that's all done by a machine now. You know, 13 miles away.
Fair, I'll do it. Did that land on a head? Can you take it that far?
No, it landed on a head, and they go, well, it looks like tails to me. A VAR decision, tails. But when goalkeepers pass each other, they always give that little shake on the half.
Why not?
That's sweet. Yeah. But not kicking the ball out because the other goalkeeper.
No, he wouldn't have done it for that. But they were 2-1 up, and he's probably thought if they were 2-2, why not?
What would Pat Jennings have done? Larraped it straight into the other end, right into the goal at the other end.
Yeah, maybe.
Because he could do that. Yeah. Here's a terrific one. This is a couple of weeks ago. Simon in Edinburgh. Most peculiar football memorabilia. I was listening to the recent pod when you were doing some ironing, and your piece on useless memorabilia reminded me I have an item that may bless your museum. Yes, because Gary and I are going to crowdfund the Alternative Football Museum. I suggest that my offering is probably the most pointless piece of football tat, although I'm sure you two will be the judges of that. Well, I've read this, and it's not, my friend. I think this is something. Anyway, I present to you an England baseball cap from the 1994 World Cup in America. I know what you're saying. England did not qualify for the tournament, so this item is possibly the only one in existence. I've attached pictures, which he has, and as you can see, it's an official World Cup product. I acquired this cap from my mum, who was working in the States at the time. As an England fan, you can imagine I was not best pleased at the time, but I've always kept it as an odd piece of nostalgia from the World Cup never played in.
Have a look.
And there it is, the official FIFA World Cup 94 England cap. And they were not there. Shows you how confident, it's like these, Brexit 50 pence pieces. Don't count your chickens.
Look at that.
That isn't an odd. I would bet if you put that on eBay, my friend, not that you'd want to, that would get a pretty penny. That is almost unique over there.
No, I would say it sounds fairly
good.
It's time for a short break.
Oh, is it?
Yes, don't go away.
Hey, it's Kaylee Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to Lineker and Baker. We're behind closed doors. Last week we ran a Twitter competition for a signed copy of our new book. Thanks to everyone who took part, and congratulations to Toby from Norwich.
Hey, Toby.
Well done, Toby. Who wins the prize? One of the team will be in touch, Toby. Hope you enjoy the book.
Which is right there. I'm yeah. Toby on
now,
that.
Now, during our half-time interval, I suddenly remembered, or actually was reminded of, the fact that Harry Maguire recently in the Europa League, as his first game as captain of Manchester United, forgot about the toss-up. So they do still toss up.
It's funny.
And he didn't know. And apparently they were going, well, hang on a minute, we've got one captain here. Where's the other geezer? And he was still warming up or whatever he's done. And they've had to summon and get him over. So there you go.
I take it this is an ordinary coin the referee does it with. It's not some kind of FIFA.
Well, I guess all referees do it in different... I suppose most of them do it with a coin. Or some of them might have their own picture of themselves.
About that, a double-headed one.
And a little VAR square on the other.
Could I ask, and I think I'm pretty safe in saying this, anyone who can hear me now, there are no great stories about being involved in the toss-up before the beginning.
There must be one.
I'm saying that's what I'm...
Come on.
Red rag or ball. There are none out there where people can tell us amusing stories about the toss-up before a game.
Yeah. So getting injured during the toss-up. During a game. Spin it up, land on your head. Heads or tails?
At park level, they may have other ways of doing it. Give us a question over there, Gary.
Okay. Having a professional footballer in any family, this is from Graham Hall, having a professional footballer in any family would be a source of great pride, but do you know of any other footballers who have brothers or sisters who are held in higher regard in their professions?
Okay.
Well, definitely not mine.
No. So it's a footballer, but it's someone more famous in the family.
Yeah, not necessarily famous, or maybe a doctor or a... Oh, blimey.
Well, I know Shaka Hislop, the goalkeeper, he gave up a career at NASA. He was going to be a spaceman, and he gave it up to be a goalkeeper. So Shaka Hislop kind of took a step down to become involved in football. He was at NASA. He was a student. He could have been involved in the space race and all that. Found he was good at goalkeeping, chose a career in football. Yeah. So that's kind of it. I mean, his family must have said, what are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing? But actually, famous dynasties that have... no, there was another Charlton brother, but unless he was...
It's not rocket science, not, is
no, it? No, no, and I say, unless he was, president of the United States, he's not going out doing it. No, I can't think. I cannot think of a dynasty where, the brother was Richard Burton, the actor. Yeah. What you got?
Got to go back to the coin toss.
You've not been listening to a word I've said, have you?
But I never listen to you. You're about Shaka Hislop.
I've got no one passing me notes over here. Go on.
Funny enough, by Shaka Hislop, we once did this little round table thing. And we were talking about, there was Des Lynam, Jimmy Hill, Alan Hansen.
Heavy table.
And myself, and maybe another. And we were talking about various stuff, we were talking about which best team or something, which somehow we got round to the Shaka Hislop. And Jimmy Hill said something along the lines of, well, I'm all for Shaga Hislop.
Shaga.
Shaggy called him, yeah.
I have a story kind of related to that.
Well, none of us could talk. We were all crying laughing. Something like that.
Shaga.
Yeah, Shaga Hislop.
The Australian version. Yeah. So what is that you've got on the coin toss?
Right, yeah. So the coin toss thing. In November 18, I presume that means the year 18, the referee David McNamara forgot his coin. No, yeah.
It's easy to do.
I think he got in trouble for it as well, didn't he?
Did he? But
he got fined or something. Got fined.
Suspended.
And he was fined 10p. But he should have been. And do you know he tossed up?
What?
Well, he didn't toss up. He did something else.
Ends my wedding ring in. What?
No. Rock, paper, scissors he did.
Did he really?
So why would they? Then they suspended him. I mean, come on!
I tell you, it's going like all the media football. The people who actually don't play it want to control it, like they did with television. All the suits want to get in on it, and that's why shows like The X Factor started, because all the boring suits wanted to judge the talent. That's why Dragon's Den, when the inventors have to come in, and all the money men are suddenly The Apprentice. You know, on game shows, they used to give away cars and caravans and holidays. Now, you can come and work in the city in an office. It is the rise of the bureaucrats and the machines, my friends. But coming back to Shagger. which it may be. Andy McKenzie, our regular correspondent. Gary, you may remember, of course, he hid Kevin Keegan in the back room of W.H. Smith's when he worked at Terminal 2 of Heathrow Airport. Well, this one... there's no names, no pack drill here, but it's got overtones to it. But I believe it. Let's say I believe it. He says, yeah, I said I had other stories. Well, here I am again, your W.H. Smith's correspondent at Terminal 2 Heathrow Airport. We got used to seeing lots of football teams coming through the terminal. And on this day in 79, it was Manchester United who graced us with their presence. They were playing, apparently, to play a free pre-season friendly in Zagreb. There were plenty of people trying to speak to them. That was nothing unusual. However, they spotted a promotional girl who was working in our shop at the cosmetics counter. Uh-oh. She was promoting the latest must-have fragrance and dressed in, I must say, was a skin-tight, shiny catsuit. The Man United players seemed to find her fascinating and were standing around busily chatting to her.
Uh-oh.
10 minutes later, I saw her walking out of the shop with her bag. The manager asked where she was going. She said, I've just quit. I'm going to Zagreb with the boys. She did. They bought her a ticket and she went to Zagreb.
Which year was this?
This 79.
79, all right. It could be. No names mentioned.
He said, we never saw her in the terminal again. So it actually was true. She made her own decision. She's a modern woman. Yeah, I'll come to Zagreb.
Hey, no, maybe. Maybe she's now married to one of those players. Wouldn't it be might lovely? Be a romantic... tale.
If it is, I'm having that as a screenplay.
Yeah.
First dibs. I'll change the names. He says, anyway, here's some of the non-silly finishes by leaving us tantalisingly. We don't know whether it worked out romantically. Here are some of the people I have seen that are not football related. John Wayne. He was huge. Loud voice, but friendly. Petula Clark. Nightmare. David Niven, an absolute gent, polite in the extreme. And again, that's a little sweetener at the end. Yeah,
travels a lot, doesn't he, David Niven? Gets around.
But the idea that, you know, there it is, and she's saying, can I interest you in his fragrance? Want to come to Zagreb? Aye. And off she goes. that's a can-do gal.
What do you got there, Gary? That's quite funny. I've got one here from Robert Goodfellow. What's the crappiest goal you ever scored? All of them. I love those. I did actually, I can't remember who it was against, quite literally score with my backside.
Did you?
You know when they said you knock it in off your backside?
Crystal Palace do that.
Yeah, and it was more by luck than judgment. It was I ran in and it was kind of, the cross was at difficult height and I've kind of twisted and it's kind of came off my right cheek.
It came, okay.
And it dribbled in, but...
Wow. Hey? But at park level, of course, that is not unusual.
No.
Mainly because one of the great joys of park level football is when you go one-on-one with a goalkeeper, hopefully someone you know, go round them, get to the line, put the ball on the line, and then find a part of the body, head it in. I have seen many people put it in with their arse. So
yeah, of course. Yeah.
There is no more humbling goal.
Yes.
I used to score quite a lot of goals at my level. And yes, here's something, actually, because I remember the cup final where I said, actually, I scored that. And on the back of the bizarre Man City thing where the goal scorer got awarded the goal, but in fact, later on he got awarded it, but if it had been awarded it during the game,
VAR
would have said you're offside.
Because Sterling would have been offside.
That's right.
Yeah, David Silva just touched it. You could quite clearly see he touched it.
Did you ever... dispute a goal? Is it done to say, I know you had a touch on that, but that was mine?
I've got a goal that I probably didn't touch.
Did you?
Yeah.
Go on.
No, I'm not telling you.
Come on.
Can't tell you. Not going to tell you.
No. Is it a famous goal?
No. It's a friendly.
A friendly. Yeah. Come on, don't you can't. This is not in the contract. Let me go through it.
Yeah, but the trouble is, I won't then be just one behind Bobby Charlton.
Oh,
I'll be two behind Bobby Charlton.
Well, now you've said it. That's it. I see. Yeah,
I think it just flicked me. Just.
possibly. Nearly. Just your flicked. Breath.
Like Harry Kane's goal. Remember when he just flicked? Just touched the... I think it was my left nipple.
Did it?
Maybe. Well, I got a little sensation.
Maybe we'll haul Bobby Charlton in here and he'll say, all right.
America away. LA. Friendly. Right. Chris Waddle crossed it. And I went in with a defender.
And sure goal.
And it was given to me. And it quite rightly so. Because it wouldn't have been a goal if I hadn't been there.
I don't understand. What do you mean? Your very presence made it turn into the goal.
Of course, because I was there and it obviously flicked my left nipple.
I've never seen you blush like you're blushing now.
Yeah.
I
was, I wasn't going to say, I'm not sure you should give that to me. You should give it to the defender.
You've got to watch yourself. Don't keep going back to
this. Right. What's the matter? I'm either one behind or two behind him. If I'd have been one ahead of him, I wouldn't have said a word, would I?
No. But as I say, let's get the old boy in here and make him fess up. He's probably got a dozen he claimed and never did. He couldn't even say it came off his hair.
I scored another goal in that game. It was one of the best goals I scored.
What was it? Describe it for us.
Glenn Hoddle chipped a little ball in. Beautiful pass. I was back to goal. Chest turned round and volleyed it in the top corner. It's so rare I scored good goals like that. Because we talk about the crappy goals. So rare that the two I scored in my career that were any good, I remember.
Yeah. And a goal line scramble, that wasn't your thing either. It was always just when it popped out the other side, you could side foot it.
A few goal line scrambles over the years, but
the Arsenal goal was a goal line scramble, wasn't it? As we now know, there was...
There's just nothing wrong with
See, that's the last thing we say on this. Can't keep gnawing away at the
it
same
bone. It
won't
be the last thing.
Listener, we will gnaw away at the same bone. Defenders now have to do that absurd thing where they put their arms behind themselves. They've all learned to do that. Yeah. But now it looks like they've got to watch... Well, their feet go as well now, because you might tread on someone's toe, or in a goal-mouth scramble.
It's getting silly.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
It's a shame. It's worrying, actually.
A late fitness test, right?
Yep.
What is a late fitness
test? It's a fitness test that's quite late.
Yeah, okay.
So maybe...
You know what? No,
so maybe you'd probably... No, it's just late... No, well...
No wonder Ian Wright's podcast is doing so well. Go on.
So what it means is... It will be a fitness test that's taken on the day of the game rather than one on the... Say you're playing on Saturday at 3 o'clock. If you've been that full of injury, you normally would do it on a Friday before.
Oh, it's not
if it's one where you think, maybe another day might be better, might be okay, you do a fit.
But
now, I think they're fairly pointless because...
What does it involve?
It'll involve a few sprints. You kick the ball, twisting and turning, checking. But it's never quite the same as it is in a match. So to be perfectly honest, they're kind of... pointless. I did one or two myself, and the person who has a late fitness test always plays because you want to, unless you're the kind of player that doesn't like playing, and there are those players around, which I always found exceptionally bizarre. But for me, I would just, if it's a hamstring or stuff, normally
you can't do it,
you know. But if it's something where you've had an ankle injury or something, well, you just strap it up, you go. A little sprint that way, turn that way. Yeah, I'm fine. I'll be fine.
You make the decision, do you? That's the...
Well, between you, but basically, if the player says I'm getting no pain, well, they're not going to disbelieve you, are they?
It always sounded to me like it was medical. It was some kind of medical, because they'd say an hour before the game,
they take you out on the pitch and you do a few sprints or in training ground somewhere.
Doesn't involve stirrups at all? Oh, okay, because that's what I always saw it.
That was usually after the game.
So this is from Rich, and this is great. This is we had that 30-year drought for a goal between games that one player had, and this is a wonderful twist upon that. Thank you so much for the emails. We guarantee all emails sent to us will be skimmed over by an intern. here we go. Exactly, here we go. That's from Rich. He says, you read out a glorious tale involving a man who broke a 30-year drought for a goal. I've got a story along similar lines, though not as emotional, but let me explain. There are many stats used in football these days. Some are interesting, others meaningless. But one I like checking out in league tables is that of goal difference. Often a team can do quite well position-wise, and then you check their goal difference and makes you wonder how they achieve a lofty final place.
Cut in just for a second? To tell you, I think Leicester's goal difference is better than Liverpool's.
Well, it would be. Have Liverpool played Southampton yet? I think they might have done.
Yeah, I think so. Don't diss Southampton.
I think we can.
They're a good side.
I think their own supporters
are very consistent Premier League club for some time.
Yeah.
Just because they came up against the mighty Foxes in top form.
We are. How about this? What would you, as a wager, and I'll take either side of it, that we see that 9-0 broken this season? That this season we'll see...
In the Premier League.
In the Premier League. Do you think so? I think it will.
No. Unless Leicester have another good day. But no. Do you think... Well, yes, City could do it one day. But I don't know.
I think it is. We came close. I mean, City came close the other week. And I think it's in the minds of players now. And thank God, because I'm fed up with games at 4-0 half-time and then 5-0. Come on. Aren't you calm? Anyway, we're all... Our dear correspondent, Rich... many stats, and he says, how teams get so high in the league, and then you look at their goal difference. A case in point being my team, Newport County. We reached the League Two playoffs last season. Yeah. Our goal difference was 0-0, and we got to the playoffs.
Yeah.
It always brings to mind a season in which I ended a personal goal difference of 0 myself. I was playing under-16 football in Newport. Now, you might think, okay, this just came about from failing to score all season. You'd be wrong. I scored 8 goals for my team from the midfield position. Not a bad return. And in fact, I was actually the most prolific scorer during that was the most prolific season during my whole career. However, these 8 goals were effectively cancelled out by 8 own goals I scored in the same campaign.
8 own goals in a season?
Including a hat-trick in one game.
An own goal hat-trick?
There has been one of those.
In professional football?
In professional football. Wolves, a defender for Wolves. I made a video ages ago called Freak Football. And it was all about games that, that 9-0 would be in it. But in it was a Wolves defender who scored a hat-trick of own goals in one game.
What, long ago, or?
80s, perhaps, 70s. I made the videos in 90s. 70s or 80s. It wasn't George Berry, forgive me, George Berry, but there was a Wolves defender who scored a hat-trick of own goals. Our correspondent did. I was captain of the team as well. 8 own goals, 8 scored. I'd like to say this was an aberration, but I still have bad memories of the first games from my school at the age of 10, in which my back pass ended up nestling in their own net, bypassing the keeper with some ease. From that moment on, it was a footballing path peppered with own goals, which to this day still raises laughs when reminiscing with my former teammates. I'd be interested to know if anyone can lay a claim to a more impressive own goal tally. Scored eight own goals. What a wonderful story, Rich.
It's amazing. 8 own goals in one season.
But a trio of own goals. That might have a whiff of a Far Eastern betting syndicate around it. A question over there, Gary?
I've got one from Top Boy Blade. This is a typically random...
I think they'll start running out of steam. I think they'll start running out of steam around end of February. And then...
Sheffield United
could get
They're doing really well. Their problem will be scoring enough goals.
Well, they could ship 10.
Yeah. Harsh.
They could.
I'm looking forward to it. When Liverpool played at Bramall Lane last month, they flew to the game. Do you know of any shorter flights that teams take?
Did they
really?
Oh, come on.
Liverpool to Sheffield?
That's literally, you go up, you come back down again. That's
generally what planes do, but
I mean... Yeah, no, fair enough. You hit the N squarely on the H there. Yes, they do. They go up and then they come down again.
Or the U. Yeah.
Or, as I once, and while we're here, while now we're giddy again, I used to, you're not Professor Brian Cox, I know that. I can see looking at you, you're not Professor Brian Cox. I asked him this question once and he couldn't answer it.
In
this age when we've all got to look out for our air miles and say, are we doing the right thing?
Yeah. Well, of course.
Yeah, yes. I mean, you look at each other with, anyway, askance. But here's the thing. If you got in a hot air balloon...
I wouldn't.
If you did...
Terrified.
Never been in a balloon?
I'd be my worst nightmare. You wouldn't get me in one of those. No, honestly, it's pathetic, my vertigo. But I admit it.
We've discussed it, but that includes a hot air balloon.
Oh, well, they do go up quite
high. They go up quite
high,
but
you know. And you look over that wobbly basket, bit of wind. Oh, no.
No, there is that.
The bigger nightmare will be jumping out of a plane.
I could do that. No. I bought my mum and dad. When you start earning a few quid, I started buying what I thought was like, enjoy my largesse. Yeah. And I bought them a hot air balloon flight.
Did you?
Yeah, and I thought they looked at it in the film Babe. You remember
and
the
then
guy?
You stood at the bomb shooting pellets at it.
Do you remember in the film Babe? They buy the farmer a fax machine and he, thanks, and they don't know what it is. But it was like that, and my old man looked at it. What is it? I said, hot air balloon. before. So I said, well, you know, my mum was like, oh, thanks, boy. But she had it as well. They never used the...
They never used the
don't
verb. Don't blame
you know?
Them. No. Don't blame
but
them.
But my mum, you would say to them, Dad, you never do use that. Yeah. And of course, I'm fucking stupid. What do I say for? Anyway, but here's the thing. And this is... I'm addressing this now to Klopp and all his hangers-on. No, that's the team, isn't it? Anyway, if you get in a hot air balloon and go up, I believe the earth turns, doesn't it? Now, if you went up for 20 minutes, surely you'd come down in Sheffield if you just waited for it to come under you. And I said this to Brian Cox once. Ooh, if you went up in a balloon, waited in the atmosphere for Italy to come round, and came down in Italy...
But if it spins the other way...
Well, all right, you've got to put dip your toe in the water somehow. Yeah. So the planet... find out what way the planet spins.
Or if it's windy. But I don't know. Doesn't the whole thing go with the clouds as well, though? The planet...
Well, get up above the cloud. Get above the atmosphere.
It's very baffling, isn't it, that we actually spin round and round really fast.
It's the funniest thing. It is the funniest thing.
But nothing, you can't see any movement.
You can't see any movement. And that's why...
It's like when you're in a plane, isn't it? You're going at 500 miles an hour. It doesn't feel like you're moving.
Don't feel like 500 miles an hour at all.
I can't understand it.
And here's the other thing that I put to Brian Cox, and he made some kind of...
He must have known.
No, he didn't know that. Well, go up in a balloon, wait for the country you want to visit to come under you, and then come down again. There it is.
Could be a long way.
Just cut all the missions in one. Yeah. But here's the other thing. Nobody knows what way up we are in space. It could be south to Aberdeen. It could be east to Aberdeen. Yeah. We don't know. Yeah. It's just all the maps were made by European... explorers, so they drew what we now accept as the map. Australia could be up the top of the planet. We don't
know. Well, it is
know.
At times, I suppose, if we spin around or the what.
I suppose
we're all in different places at different moments, aren't we?
Everyone's
why are we doing the science stuff? Because neither of us have got a fucking clue what we're talking about.
But I do understand. I'm no flat earther, and I'm sorry.
Oh, there's a young man in the room.
You're
too young to listen to a podcast, Luca.
You find this out when you go to school. Gary and I were too busy chatting to fragrance sales women. Anyway, and I do understand what the flat earthers mean. When you look at the ocean and you think, well, why don't it just fly straight up in the air? Yeah. How does it stay? Gravity. I understand that.
I know, I'm the same. It baffles me, the whole thing. And this galaxy that goes on in like millions of light years away. And,
as a kid, when
and
you
it
think...
it goes on, and then there's another galaxy, and then there's another one. And
as a kid, you think, well, if there's a wall, what's on the other side of the wall?
I mean, that Godfella who made it all in just a few days, he's a bloody clever fella.
And that's why we only get 70-odd summers in this theme park spinning through space, and you've got to grab hold of it and shake it while you can. You've got to do that.
This is a proper football podcast.
This is a proper football podcast.
And it's kind of done.
It is.
I've got an idea. I'm going to bring out a new fragrance called Zagreb. What do you think? What do you think? Zagreb.
Yeah.
It grabs you and it takes you.
With the great smell of Man United's first team. We're done, are we?
We are. We're done. That's good luck, by the way, to England in the Rugby World Cup final.
Yes, indeed.
I'm not a massive follower of rugby, but I'm a massive follower of England. And yes, come on, let's do it. And good luck to Southampton too, after their mauling that they suffered at the hands of Leicester. Should be easy enough. They're away to Man City at the weekend.
Oh, yes,
that
it
could
is.
Be the 10.
That could be the 10.
No, they'll bounce back. You see, Southampton.
They won't bounce back. They
Man
can't.
City. Man City 1, Southampton 2. Remember where you heard it.
All right, I've gone 10-0.
And if it's 10-0, edit that out. Okay.
Well, we'll see. When we come together again, we'll see.
It's been a pleasure, Danny. Thank you. Bye.